I'm Senator Jez. Friends call me Aben Crawford, and I'll be right back with the show after we pay some bills. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. We've made it. Third episode. That's not exactly a milestone, but I'll tell you, it's better than other things. What other things? I'm seriously considering putting a fork in my other podcast, the DIY Creative. And the only reason being is I cannot get myself motivated to even want to record another episode over there. I have to do at least one more because I have the recap that I promised on the 20-day challenge that I did last month. But other than that, I think I've said everything I want to say in that show. So I may put a fork in that. But that leaves more energy to do this show. The show is where my brain is at the moment. That's not saying a whole lot. My brain has issues. It does have issues. Evidently, being coherent here is not a high priority, which is good for me. Yes, I woke up this morning. It's weird because I had pains. I'm 50. Let's just get that out. I'll be 51 in January. And you know the really funky thing about getting old? I have more pains now, but it's hard to differentiate between, oh, this is one of those you're getting old pains, and actual, maybe you should look into this and maybe go to the doctor pain. The line is blurring as we speak. Toward the beginning of this year. Yeah, it was this year. I woke up in the middle of the night and I had really bad chest pains. Now, chest pains is something you don't want to screw around with. I actually did sit in bed thinking, no, this can't be it. No, this can't be it. I did that for a while. And finally, I tapped Faith on the shoulder and she groggily woke up like, what the hell do you want? Like, Faith, I think we have to go to the hospital. I have some chest pains and they're not going away. And she jumped out of bed. I got dressed, went to the hospital. And everything you've ever heard about how when you walk into the hospital and say you have chest pains, they drop everything and get you into the emergency room. Like you go in there and your arm is half hanging off, like only by a little string, you're like bleeding out. They're like, sit in that chair and wait. But you walk in and say, chest pain. They're like, they knock you into the wheelchair. They don't even give you a chance to sit in the wheelchair. Somebody comes up behind you, whoosh, boom, and you're in the wheelchair. You're like, they're risking your ankles and knees to get you into that emergency room fast because you said chest pains. All right, so that's cool, though. That's cool because chest pains, you don't want to screw around with that. I mean, if you're having a heart attack, time is not your ally at that point. So chest pains, boom, get me into the wheelchair. Bam, I'm in the back. Also, it's weird because half the people back there treat you like their best friend. They're like, honey, we're going to take care of you. And they talk in that nice voice. And the other half is like, you're not even human. Let's put more needles in him. Oh, bam. Let me tell you about needles. I don't mind needles. I don't know why. I'm that weird guy that when they take blood from me, I look. I just look down. I'm like, I'm watching you do this. I've had several technicians comment, like, most people turn away. You just looked. I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to see what's happening. This is my body. You know, don't want to see what's going on. Another thing, though, is that I have amazing veins. I could probably shoot myself up. My veins are so easy to find. So that makes this all the more weird. So I get in there and this, mostly kind lady comes in, and the first thing, she put that little rubber thing on my arm to get the veins pumped up to stick the needle in. And this was a red flag. She says, after she tapped my arm a couple of times, she says, do you have veins that are hard to find? That was her accent, too. I mean, I'm probably butchering the accent, but yeah, she had kind of I don't know. It was actually kind of a cute accent, but do you have veins that are hard to find? Like, no. Okay. So you know I have a tattoo on my penis, and that was the most painful thing that's ever happened to me. But pain, that takes different roads, right? Pain takes different roads. Like, there's outright pain like, oh my God, this guy isn't sticking needles into my penis. There's, oh my God, somebody just hit me in the head with a sledgehammer. That's real, like on the ground running pain. This pain was different. And in a lot of ways, it was really, really disconcerting. It wasn't the kind of pain that was outright unbearable. It's the feeling that went with the pain. This lady proceeded to try to get a vein and couldn't get my vein. So instead of pulling the needle out and getting somebody that could get a vein or maybe trying another stick, she starts moving the needle around in my arm. The feeling that this creates is the most uncomfortable, not outright ouch, but just seriously uncomfortable. And she just keeps going, and she just keeps going, and she just keeps going. And I'm trying to be a good soldier here. I'm trying my best, but Faith notices. I do not complain a lot about pain. So Faith notices that I am like squirming, starting to squirm, because this is really uncomfortable. It's a feeling I can't even describe. So Faith's like, "You're hurting him. He won't say anything. You're hurting him." And she's like, "I'm not trying to find the vein. I've actually just changed her accent. Her accent's going to be English here before it's over. English, like British English. Yeah, whatever. She had an accent, and I'm going to probably go Scottish next." So finally, she pulls the needle out. And another nurse comes in and says, I hear we had some trouble. I'm like, I didn't have any trouble. So she tries on the other arm, puts the little rubber thing on, taps my arm twice, boom, in the vein, we're good to go. Now, a couple of days later, I have to tell you, I had the most hideous bruising in my arm. That was a bad experience. But that's a bad experience, couched in a bad experience, because remember, I'm at the hospital because I had chest pains. They've nearly taken my knees out, putting me in a wheelchair, and they whoosh me in. So the doctor comes in, and they were giving me nitroglycerin, maybe? Glycerin? Does that sound right? Does that sound like what they would do? The stuff that you make TNT with? I think it was nitroglycerin. I don't know. He told me that this is it's going to dilate. I think that what he said was it's going to dilate my system so that blood flow is easier. I think that's what he said. You see, in these really important situations like this, I tend to really pay attention. And by paying attention, I mean no, not really. He did say I'd feel lightheaded probably and maybe even get a headache from blood flow and stuff from the nitroglycerin. And they were going to set me up with tests, but they were going to see how the nitroglycerin worked. And as it turns out, the chest pains slowly started to subside. But they still did a couple of tests. They brought me up for a stress test. And that was actually really good, because that's the one where they put you on a treadmill and they get you going really, really hot and sweaty. And then they take an ultrasound of your heart before, and they take an ultrasound after. And they also have all kind of electronic things to check your heart rate and stuff and everything. And I got on there on the treadmill and I pushed it. I pushed it really hard. Let me put it this way. If I was having a heart attack, I would have died because I was pushing it. And the doctor was like, "You're doing all right." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you know, let's go." The hardest part of that was, though, is they take the ultrasound after and you have to blow out all of your breath and hold it. Now, when you are sucking air because you're just sprinting on a treadmill, that gets scary as hell, because you're like, you blow out all your air and they're trying to take the picture and you're like, all your body wants to do is sorry about that thing. That happens a lot. So we got that done, and here's why that was such a great thing. My heart is fine. I mean, my heart is fine. And I'm not one of those vegans, but you know, at that point, I had been vegan for 2.5 years. And a vegan diet has been shown in studies to actually reverse problems with the heart. I can only guess that that was the case here, because I know that going into being a vegan, I probably didn't have I was probably clogged up a little bit, but no, he was taking, sorry, my throat. He was taking the pictures, and he's like, "Man, your heart is fine. It's not good for your age. Your heart is fine." And I'm like, good to know, good to know. Here's what it is. Turns out I, now in my older age, suffer from a form of acid reflux called GERD. And this is a particularly nasty recurring form of acid reflux. And what had happened was, is my stomach acid came up and actually got into my my lungs, into the passages of my lungs. And this could be a real problem. It could cause scarring. It could actually lead to onset of asthma and other things. So I'm actually that guy that you always see on the TV shows. And you're like, that could never happen. A guy has a heartburn and he ends up in the hospital. I'm that guy. It happened to me. And I have to take measures to prevent the GERD. And the GERD gets me sometimes still. This is a problem too, because let's say my heart did go take a turn for the worse, right? And I'm used to having chest pains every now and then from my acid reflux. So in the middle of the night, maybe one day down the road, I'm having a heart attack. I'm like, oh God, let me go take an antacid and go back to sleep. And then I die. This is what I mean by as you get old, it's hard to tell the, oh, now you're old pains from holy shit, go to the hospital pains. That case, I went to the hospital. And woohoo, even though I have good insurance, man, let me tell you, I have one hell of an out-of-pocket expense for that. This is the problem with the hospitals right now. Our healthcare system is out of control with the costs. And I would be hesitant to go to the hospital again just because of the out-of-pocket I got hit, even though I had insurance. The medical industry, as it is in our country, makes it to where you kind of have to almost be actually dead before you want to go to the hospital, because you don't want to go in like I did and have a false alarm and then have, I think it's something like $3,500 that I have out of pocket. And my insurance got charged something like $12,000. I went in, I was in the hospital for 6 hours. I took a stress test and they put nitroglycerin in my body. And one nurse basically tried to turn my arm into ground meat with a needle. I want to say my insurance had to pay $12,000. And I know for a fact I got somewhere in the range of $3,500 out of pocket on that. Wow. Wow. Chest hurts a little bit. I'm going to go to the hospital. No, I don't need a new car. Because you could buy a low-end new car or a pretty good mid-range used car for what I went in and spent 6 hours in the hospital for. I used to watch this show, and it was BMX riders, and they go around the world riding their BMX bikes, and one of the guys' name was Catfish. It was Catfish and somebody else, and I can't be bothered to actually remember everything about this show, but one thing that sticks out to me, I think they were in Thailand. It was an Asian nation. I want to say Thailand. I could be wrong. And one of, not Catfish, but the other guy that I can't remember his name, broke his arm. And they went to the hospital. At the hospital, they x-rayed his arm. They set the brake. They put him in a cast. And he walked out paying the equivalent of American $150. Because all he did was pay for the services. The x-ray, the setting of the arm, I guess they gave him pain meds, and then putting it in a cast, he walked out paying the equivalent of $150 American. You go in with a broken arm today in our country, in the United States, you're going to walk out with a $5,000, $6,000 bill, maybe more. There's a lot of factors involved in this, but basically it can be put down to the insurance business and the deals between the hospitals and the medical industry and the drug industry and the insurance industry. And I wish I understood it more so I could talk to you about it, but you know what? You don't come to this show to hear about that shit. I'm just telling you my experiences and how not being able to tell I'm getting old pain from a holy shit, go to the hospital pain cost me dearly. But I had to go, right? I mean, seriously. Next time I go to the hospital, I have to be literally bleeding out of my eyes and things have to be falling out of my body, though, because I'm punch drunk now. I'm shy. I don't want to do that again, because If I go in there with another false alarm, I mean, seriously, what? It's just craziness. It's just craziness. If you're one of those people that are not making a lot of money, that you're barely scraping by, maybe you're in the poverty level, and you go to the emergency room, this actually saved me, because I didn't have to pay for the emergency room that night because they admitted me. Had they not admitted me, this would have been, you get what I'm saying. Being admitted saved me from having to drop a chunk of change that night. But a lot of people go to the emergency room because that's the only outlet that they have for medical care. They'll go for a cold and then they'll walk out. They'll say, I can't pay. And they'll walk out. And then this dogs them. And it just helps keep them under the thumb. They just keep falling further and further and further behind. Yet in Thailand, a BMX rider that's not even from the country breaks his arm, gets the arm completely set, cast, everything, x-ray, and walks out paying $150 U.S. American cash. That's just craziness, the equivalent of that. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? You know what else? It's like, okay, so I'm a big fan of kettlebells. I do most of my workouts now are based around kettlebells and calisthenics, and I have a total gym. The reason is I don't have to work out like I did when I was a kid, when I was a power lifter and stuff like that. Old bones just don't need that. I work out more intensely, but in different ways. I don't squat. I don't deadlift. I do movement exercise, and that's what the kettlebell's great for. It's great to build strength, but keep you mobile. It keeps your joints flexible. It keeps you going. And the total gym is a way to actually just directly hit muscles, but I don't have to hit muscles with the same weights that I used to. I also do, you know, I'm into boxing. I have my old boxing gear. So I love hitting the bags and stuff like that. So that's basically the kind of workout I do. It's more movement based now. But the old bones, man, I've had knee injuries. I've had hip injuries. I've had bicep injuries, almost tore my bicep. When I say almost, I did have a muscle tear, but it didn't separate from the bone, but that caused me a lot of problems for a long time. Still to this day, I can't do a regular pull-up because of the pain that's just generated on that one arm where I actually tore the bicep a little bit. So I got all these things, and these things come home to roost as you get older. To the point where when I wake up, I'm like, holy crap, am I injured or is this just a change in the weather and my body's picking up on it? These are questions I actually have to ask myself now. Youngsters, you just don't get it. Growing old is not for wimps. And then there's the big one. In 2001, this was when I was powerlifting. Although I didn't hurt myself when powerlifting, I was working, and this is another one of those weird things. I have led a really odd life. I'm a vegan, and before I was a vegan, I used to be a vegetarian for 10 years, but then I got back to eating meat, so much of the fact that I used to work in a butcher shop. So vegetarian for 10 years, went back to eating meat, worked in a butcher shop. Years later, I'm vegan. I've been vegan for over 3 years now. August 22nd was my 3-year vegan anniversary. So anyway, that was back when I was powerlifting. And I was causing residual damage to my back, I guess, through powerlifting. That happens. So I was at the butcher shop and I lifted a box of beef. You got to say it like that, beef. And I twisted wrong and I just felt a pop. And I didn't think much of it at the time. I went and told my boss, I'm like, I just felt a pop in my back, man. I think I need to maybe take the rest of the day off. I went home and I kind of laid down. I wasn't really feeling a lot of pain. When I woke up the next day, I could not move. And let's see, this was 2001. So I was, let me see, I was 30 and 99. So yeah, you know, 32 maybe. I say maybe because I don't remember the exact date. You know, I mean, I could have been 31 or 32 at the time. And I went and got an appointment, went and got an MRI. And it's funny because when I got out and I was talking to the technician, and I had trouble staying still in the machine. And, you know, you have to stay totally still in those things. So I was having trouble staying totally still. And afterwards, I'm like, I'm sorry we had to do that one over again a couple of times. But, you know, he's like, well, people don't come to get this scan unless they're not feeling well. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what it is. I mean, I couldn't stay in that position because it was very painful. And he said something to the effect of, I said, well, how did it come out? He's like, dude, what did you do? And I'm like, holy shit, what do you mean? What do you mean? And then at that point, he realized, wait, well, you know, you're going to have to talk to your doctor. I'm like, no, you can't say something like that and just leave me hanging, dude. He's like, no, I shouldn't have said that. You need to talk to your doctor. I'm like, oh my God, you were nice a second ago and now you're a piece of shit. Tell me what the hell you just said. What were you meaning? He wouldn't tell me. And I wasn't going to be able to see the doctor for like 3 days. I guess because he had to interpret everything or what, whatever. So go to the doctor and man, I tore my back up. And this is something that haunts me to this day. Another reason that I use the kettlebells and all, and I try to be movement based is to keep my back nimble. I chose not to have the surgery. I was given the option of surgery. I said, probably want to have surgery on your back. I'm like, hell no. And the doctor's like, why? I'm like, once you get surgery, there's no going back. I'd rather try to just manage this. And I've had bouts. I've had bouts since then where I can't walk. I actually missed 3 weeks of work last year because of my back. So it resurfaces every now and then. So every time I wake up and I get a little pinch in my back, I'm like, holy shit, here we go again. And luckily, most of the time, it's just getting old pains. But since I do have that problem in my back, I think the worst a lot because I can't tell the difference between the getting old pains and the holy shit, we got to go to the hospital pains. It's nuts. And then the brain. My grandfather passed away from complications of dementia. So it may run in my family. Of course, that's my maternal side. On my father's side, this is a weird one because my father actually left my mom before I was born, and I've only ever seen him once in my life, like when I was 7. He was a raging alcoholic, and his father was a raging alcoholic, and they were chain-smoking alcoholics, and somehow his father lived into his 90s, and, you know, my real father only died a few years ago. I had to hear that from other sources. I had no relationship with the guy. Saw him once, left my mom before I was born. So on my father's side, evidently the genes on that side are pretty rock solid. But on my mother's side, my grandfather passed away from complications of dementia. Now this gets to me because I actually have neurological problems. Some people may say I'm insane, but I'm not talking mental problems. I'm talking actual brain function. I got out the Air Force because I have a seizure disorder. I was released from the Air Force 3 months before I actually was going to get out anyway because I had done my 4 years. But, you know this story from the last episode of why I got my penis tattoo. So, yeah, I was released from the Air Force on a medical discharge due to a seizure disorder. Now, I still have the seizure disorder. It just has morphed. I don't actually have seizures anymore. I have tics. Not tics like the thing that causes Lyme disease. I'm talking, you know, brain function. And also, I have a couple of other things that I'm not going to tell you on this podcast because I got to keep something personal. But I have a couple of other issues as well, brain. So since I already have brain issues, it really messes with my head that I had a grandfather that had passed away from complications of dementia. I have a horrible short-term memory. However, my long-term memory is a steel trap. I remember things in the minute details that the people that were with me were like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, don't you remember on this day and blah, blah. I would say that my long-term memory is near, what's the term, eidetic? Not there. I mean, I'm not that good, but my long-term memory is like a steel trap. It's so funny because my short-term memory, I won't remember things, but then like a few months down the road, it somehow passes from my short-term memory and it gets into my long-term memory. I'm like, oh. But that memory, that short-term memory thing freaks me out. Because is it a getting old thing? Is it I always had this thing? Is it because I don't pay attention enough? Is it dementia? Is it early onset of what could be dementia later on? I just dropped something. That messes with my mind. That messes with my mind more than the physical stuff. Because the physical stuff, I can kind of work my way around. Is that an old guy pain, or is that a, oh shit, we got to go to the hospital pain? Oh boy, but the mental side of things, that causes stress. See, kids, what you have to look forward to? So, tell you something that irked me the other day. Has nothing to do with pains or getting old or anything like that. This is marketing. I know that was a hard shift right there, man. I changed lanes really quick. And it's funny I say change lanes because I saw this on the road. I saw this truck. It's a white truck. On the back of it, it said, Freedom Industries. Yep, Freedom Industries. Then it had something about being patriotic underneath that with a little, in red, white, and blue colors, a little phrase about being patriotic. And on the other side of the tailgate, they had a phone number. Now, it's a white pickup truck. It has some kind of rack in the bed, but nothing was on the rack. So I started to get really pissed off. I'm like, why would I call that number? What issue do I have that I would call that number? I understand they're patriotic. I understand they're called Freedom Industries. And they have a phone number. So they obviously have a phone. That's all I know about this company. What kind of advertising is that on a vehicle? So I'm like, Faith, you got to overtake this guy. We got to go around the side and see what this guy does now. Because maybe I'm going to have an issue one day and they can help me with that issue. But how am I going to know to call them if I don't know what they do? It's like fucking silliness, peoples. So, Faith hits the gas, man. Vroom, we're on the side. I'm like, I'm going to find out what the hell Freedom Industries is. You know what they have on the side of the truck? The door says Freedom Industries. On the side of the bed, it has that patriotic slogan, and then it has a phone number. I can't tell you how angry this made me. What happens if I have an issue one day and I want good, God-fearing Americans to come fix it for me, but I don't know that I can call Freedom Industries because I don't know what they do? Are they auto glass repair? Are they a tire service? Are they plumbing? Are they carpentry? Hey, do they work on air conditioners? I don't know. And that drives me nuts. And you know, here's why it drives me nuts. They paid to have all of these slogans put on the car. They paid to have Freedom Industries. They paid to have their silly little, we are patriotic motherfuckers up there. That's not what it said, but it doesn't matter. And then they paid to have their phone number on there. And nobody at this business thought for one instance, put what we do on the damn truck. This should not affect me that much. It shouldn't, but it does. Almost want to call them and find out, say, Freedom Industries, what the fuck do you do? But I can't, because I refuse to even call a company that's so, is it a guess? Is it a guess company? Guess what we do? Call us and we'll come do it for you. Screw you, Freedom Industries. I bet you they wear MAGA hats. Which means I probably wouldn't call them anyway. See, that right there, that's how MAGA people are at times. I'm sorry. I judge people on individual basis. And you know, I'm not gonna be that. If you have wear a MAGA hat, you're not. Actually, some great people are being disillusioned. Look, I'm not gonna say that thinking that Trump's a great president makes you a great person. I'm just saying, you know, some people have been fooled by this guy. Freedom Industries. We don't have to sell you what we do. You just call us and we'll come do it. Screw you, Freedom Industries. Also, man, I saw this after seeing Freedom Industries, we're driving and we got behind this tanker truck, right? And the back of the tank is just white, right? And I'm thinking, wow, man, Freedom Industries had all that shit on their white car, on their white truck. You know what they should put on the back of that tank truck? Since they had nothing, they could spray paint it on themselves with a stencil. They should put, thank you. That's right. They should put, thank you. Why? Why the hell not? I mean, if Freedom Industries can put stupid crap on theirs, on their truck, that means absolutely nothing, why can't they put something that means absolutely nothing on their truck, but at least it makes you feel good? So instead of a big white back of the tank, they could put, thank you. And then people behind them be like, welcome. But they don't. I bet you the guy that drives that tank truck has a lot of pains. And he probably doesn't know sometimes whether it's a sitting in a truck all day and getting old pain, or if it's a, holy crap, I got to go to the hospital pain. Because, you know, truck drivers suffer from a lot of back pain because they sit in uncomfortable trucks a lot. So this guy could like have like all kind of crap going on back there. He really needs to go get checked out. But he's like, oh, just got to stretch a little bit when I get out the truck. Oh, you know how it goes. Because I have a feeling that's what truck drivers sound like. Not all truck drivers. I'm sure some truck drivers, they're like, pardon me, sir. Do you have some Grey Poupon? But most truck drivers probably like this. Oh, going over Moe's. Get me a chimichanga. I love the word chimichanga. There are two words for food that I love, and I love saying them. And the fact is, I don't eat either one. I love saying chimichangas. That's like a booyah for me. Chimichangas! And I love saying mugu gai pan, because that is literally the most fun word in the world to say. Mugu gai pan. It's actually more than one word, but it doesn't matter. It's the coolest phrase. Say it. You cannot say mugu gai pan without a smile coming across your face. However, I've tried mugu gai pan, and I find it mostly tasteless and bland. So the word is in no way descriptive of the meal, mugu gai pan. But say it, mugu gai pan. It just, say chimichangas. You are smiling right now because you said those words. But as you're smiling, you notice a little pain in your jaw and you're like, holy crap, is this like some kind of thing I need to go get checked out? Or is it just a getting old pain in my jaw? I tell you, man, getting old, it is not for wimps. But it's also inevitable. And remember this, youngsters, when you're thinking about old people like me. First off, you don't know better than us. All the stupid shit you're doing right now that you think gives you edge, we did that when we were your age. We just come out the other side. We know the trials. We know the tribulations. We know the experimentations. I have a tattoo on my penis. Top that, little millennial people. You probably will, but you know what? It won't mean anything. I've lost a job because of tattoos. That's something that you won't even experience today. You can get a tattoo on your face and keep your job. Getting old is not for wimps. But remember this, youngsters. The other alternative is to not be alive. So I'll take my pains. I'll take having to figure out if it's a, oh no, got to go to the hospital pain, or holy crap, it's just getting old pain. I'll take having to figure that out because the alternative is I'm not here anymore. I've restarted my Patreon, everybody. I'd love if you would check it out. I will put a link in the show notes. It's tough being a creative these days. It's lonely. A lot of people think they'd see the pop stars and they're always at the parties and this, that, and the other. But you got to remember, other people write their music. Other people play the song, some of them play the music. What I'm saying is their products. And their part of their product is their package to look like they're having the life, right? But creatives like me, most of the time, you'll find me in the studio alone or just me and the dogs, and I'm working. I'm ass in seat working. I'm making music. I'm making these podcasts. I'm working on the studio. I just redesigned the studio. It's really nice right now, actually. I love it. So Patreon to me is not only a way of kind of supporting my artistic endeavors. It's also a way to build a community with like-minded people that like what I do. And what do? I create experimental, ambient, and what I call space hop music. I perform that music, I create podcasts, and I do work at a facility where I do create music and do other creative endeavors, but it's a very lonely thing. I want that community. I want people that like what I do, and I want to interact with you, and Patreon is a good way to do that. So if you check that out, I would really, really, really enjoy that. I'm going to be tightening it up here soon, changing the tiers, but the tiers are pretty good as they are, and right from the $1 level, you get all of the music I create weeks before I release it. Plus, you get other things that I never release, only goes to my Patreon supporters. At the $5 level, you get to name my music. You get to name a track. At the $10 level, things get really interesting. Check it out, please, on my Patreon. I will put a link in the show notes. Also, Instagram, that is where I am most active. If you want to see the goofiness that is my life, Instagram is the place. I'd love you to follow me on Instagram. Love to interact with you there. Twitter, same thing. It's all at Senator Jez. Instagram.com/SenatorJez. Twitter.com/SenatorJez. Twitter is just where I usually put out things I like music or industry news or equipment news. And then every now and then I just repost my Instagram stuff there. But mostly Twitter is where it's a good place to catch what I think is cool in music, in movies, in equipment. That's what Twitter's all about. And I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/SenatorJez. And who knows what I'm going to put up there. I really enjoy that you're listening. I really enjoy that you're here for episode 3. Thank you so much. You don't know what it means to me that you are giving me your attention, because attention is valuable. But until next time, everybody, take care of your pains. Be happy you're still around, even if you're getting old like me. And I'll be back. Cheers, everybody. Senator Jez, Aben Crawford, out.